Hi there. Welcome to the New Life Live podcast. Steve here. And since 1988, New Life has been transforming lives one life at a time. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's most hard, difficult places. One way we do this is through the live program that we share with our listeners here on this podcast. Now, you'll get to listen to callers bringing us their challenges, and our panel of counselors and psychologists provide insight, which you will learn from too.
Hello, everybody. It's Becky Brown. And before you go anywhere, you got to hear what Dr. Alice Benton and Mark Cameron are going to say today. So don't switch the channel or turn the podcast off. We are just so grateful that you joined us today. And we know that God's going to bless you through whether it's a question that you ask, and you can call us at 1-800-229-3000, or it's something that you hear from someone else. You know, last week we had a conversation, Mark, you were talking about trauma bonding. And while I think I understand it, I was thinking about how powerful it would be if you would share with the rest of the audience, what are some, you know, just some key features of trauma bonding, and when does it happen?
Yeah, well, hi, Becky. Hi, Alice. Yeah, trauma bonding, it can seem very confusing to people who are watching it. And what trauma bonding is, it's when an abuser and the abused actually, they form this unhealthy bond, and the person being abused ends up putting up with and enduring and even protecting the abuser. And so for people on the outside, that can look very, very confusing. But what happens is there's a specific process that happens that causes somebody to do that. Usually what happens is there's, you know, when the abuser meets the abused, there's this love bombing phase where there's a lot of attention and maybe even gift giving. And then it's just a wonderful feeling for that person. And then slowly there's this shift to criticism, and then sometimes gaslighting and blaming, and then separating the person off. And then the abuse occurs. And then there's the promise of not abusing again after that. And what that does is it just creates these confusing feelings inside the person. And what happens on a neurobiological level is cortisol, which is our stress hormone that tells us when we should run from danger, that gets mixed with our bonding hormone, oxytocin. And it just provides this highly confusing experience for the person who's undergoing it. And they just can't get out of this cycle of abuse.
You know, it's interesting, too, when we use the word abuse, so many times people will rationalize what is and what is not abuse. You know, if the person isn't hitting me, then it's not abuse. And, you know, Alice, we know differently, don't we? What are some forms of the abuse that Mark is talking about with trauma bonding?
Well, emotional abuse and neglect are some of the most subtle forms, so they're harder to recognize and acknowledge as being abusive because they don't leave obvious marks. Mm-hmm. And there's a generational pattern to this where sometimes we are replaying what we've experienced in our parent-child relationship, later on in a romantic relationship. And if we compare, and what I'm experiencing now is not as bad as what I grew up with, it feels better, seems better, we can easily justify and minimize what we're going through and decide we need to tolerate it. And unfortunately, some of our Christian beliefs get intertwined into this. Forgive and forget. Be a good Christian spouse. Aren't I supposed to forgive so over and over again and stick with this? And so, unfortunately, it sets up the pattern, the belief that we're supposed to stay and tolerate rather than separate ourselves from it.
Yeah, the hardest part is that separation, because we are in a pattern of acceptance that this has just been part of our relationship. And there is that tight bond. It's, you know, like super glue for many people. And we hear those calls many times. And, you know, if you hear something that sounds similar to what you're experiencing in this description of trauma bonding, or maybe you're just having struggles with a relationship right now, maybe it's anxiety, just give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. We're going to be talking with you for a couple of hours. We've got some lines open. We've got a caller that we're going to go to after the break. And we hope that you'll join us. We'll see you in a few.
find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are so glad you joined us, and we're going to be taking your calls, 1-800-229-3000, and we're going to talk to Ann, who's calling us from Vancouver and listens on SiriusXM. Hello, Ann. How can we help you today?
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling because I want to advise my nephew of what books to read. I need you to help me sort that out. I'll give you a bit of background. He's 50 years old. He now lives in Australia. He grew up with a very dysfunctional mother. He was subjected to sometimes having to collect pop cans to find something to eat, violence, pedophile that sexually abused him, and much more. And so I have always stayed very close to him. He's never quite, well, once he went for a bit of counseling, but he can't get himself to go for counseling, and he's not open to medication because he said he's tried it, but it doesn't work for him. But the other day I was talking to him, and he told me that he is open to reading some books. And I don't know which books to advise him to read, so I'm wondering if you could help me with that.
Okay. Alice, what would you recommend?
And thank you for being that kind of stable, strong presence in your nephew's life, that you would be a safe person for him to open up to, even about reading a book. And we do have some recommendations we can give you. And just to flesh out the story a little bit more before we do that, is this your brother or your sister's child?
It's my sister's child. She had three boys. And I knew when they were little, I didn't know the extent of what was going on, but I knew, and there was nothing I could do. So I decided when they became adults, I would do all I could to help them. And I've stayed, well, this nephew, I've stayed very close to him.
How are you maintaining contact with him as he lives in Australia? What's relationship like with him now?
It's not as close because there's distance, but I've been there to see him a couple of times. We FaceTime often. He calls me if he's having a really bad crisis. You could always use the word demons all the time. He hates himself, which is natural for what he's gone through. And he's married on his second marriage, which of course has problems, but it's sort of functioning, and he has a daughter, and
Can I ask a question, Anne? Does he have any sexual integrity issues? Like, is he using porn? Did his first marriage end because of unfaithfulness? I'm just curious.
No, he tells me no, he's not using porn. His first marriage ended because he married a woman very similar to his mom, and it just blew out of the water. He has on occasion, and he tells me this, and I don't know. I mean, I believe him because he's so honest with me. He has talked to a few women, but he says it's because he wants to help them. He talks to women who might be in crisis, and it's kind of like he's looking for a woman's approval. I don't think he's doing that now because his wife does not agree with that, but I don't think he's doing that now, but he did for a little while. But you know, he's, as far as I know, there's no sexual integrity issues at all.
I was just thinking, Anne, because we have our Everyman's Battle workshop that's going to be online, which would be a one-day opportunity for him to get some really in-depth help, as well as a community of men who could be very supportive in his health journey. Mark, what would you suggest that Anne would do to just support him in this endeavor?
Yeah, well, Anne, my heart goes out to your nephew. It sounds like he has just had a horrific childhood with abuse and neglect. And I'm so glad that he has you. He has, you know, and you, I'm sure, are like a mother figure in his life, that figure that he didn't have. And it's so difficult when children, I know he's not a child now, but he was when he went through this trauma. Mm-hmm. Because we start to question, you know, why am I not good enough for my parent? Why don't they want me? Why are they putting me in these dangerous situations? And it really does mess with us lifelong until we get some help to be able to kind of process through that. Did you say that he's open to therapy, open to counseling?
No, he was for a little while. He had a pretty significant, probably before he left Canada, so probably 20, 25 years ago, he had a very significant attempt to take his life. And out of that, he was with a counselor for a while who was quite helpful to him. But the other piece of the puzzle is that his father left, he just idolized his father, and his father left the home when he was four, and he never really ever, well, he saw him maybe six times in the rest of his life. So there's that whole piece, too, and I think it's why, well, I don't know. I don't know why he doesn't feel good enough. I could probably guess, make a few guesses, but I think that's a big piece of the puzzle, too.
Yeah, so he has that abandonment issue, too. Yeah, I mean, if you can encourage him, I think, to get into counseling, I think that probably is the best course of action. I think reading books are great, and we can get a lot of knowledge, but really he needs to learn how to kind of process through some of that hurt and that trauma, and being able to maybe even get in with a trauma therapist, somebody who is skilled at working with these kind of issues to help him be able to kind of make sense of his story and understand that this is not his fault.
And it makes me think of our book, How We Love, or How We Love Our Kids, because when someone is resistant to doing their own work, but they love their child and maybe want to improve as a parent, sometimes that's an entry point into doing work on themselves so that at least they're a better parent, even though they don't want counseling, they don't want medication. And so How We Love or How We Love Our Kids would be, I think, a good starting point for him. And Healing is a Choice, Steve Arterburn's book, what it does is it helps give us power of how we can handle what happened to us that we had no power over. And it gives very specific structured steps of actions we can now take as an adult that heals those historical wounds and builds us up, strengthens us, and strengthens our character. And that he'd be open to that one as well. And I just want you to know, Anne, that when we look at trauma research and whether or not people are overwhelmed by their historical trauma, one thing that we know makes an enormous difference if there's one stable person in their life, even now as an adult. So I just can't emphasize enough how healing your presence is as a loving person who cares about him and wants the best for him. It really changes how much people are overcome by their trauma.
Yeah, we will. We'll go ahead and send you a copy of that. I was thinking of both of those books. We'll send Healing is a Choice. But I do love the idea of How We Love because of the attachment issues that come up in trauma, you know, because it is historical. But I agree with you. Anne gets to be aunt of the day for her care and taking of her nephew, who's an adult, you know. It just goes to show you that relationships really do make a big impact in our life, positive and negatively. And so, you know, we just want to encourage you to you know, just keep doing the right thing to help people. Give us one of the right things might be to give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. Right now, we're going to talk with Karen, who's calling us from Dallas and listens on KWRD. Hi, Karen. I'm glad you called. How can we help you?
Good afternoon. I'm calling. My husband and I have been married 28 years, and we have a daughter who's 24, college graduate. She had been dating a gentleman that comes from a well-to-do household. His parents are still married. He's 27, will be 28 next month, and he lives at home. Of course, he works, and his parents make him pay rent. Apparently, he had some mental issues a little while ago and was in a mental hospital for a little bit and had some issues. He accidentally shot himself with a gun in his leg. And, you know, basically he came out of all that, and apparently he's doing better, and my daughter is starting to see him again. His parents are very nice people, from what I can tell. My husband does not respect the father because the father did not basically talk to my husband or say goodbye to my husband when we were at my daughter's volleyball game in college, And the boyfriend had said, oh, I can't stay with your daughter in her apartment. And my husband's like, absolutely not. You're not married to her. So long story short, his parents have been lavishing our daughter with gifts. They bought her a brand new set of tires, which is like $800. And then they're taking her and his whole family and a friend of the mother to New York City in May for a weekend getaway. And my husband is just very upset and thinks that the parents are manipulating our daughter by giving her gifts. And my husband thinks that she's in a bad way. She's 24. She doesn't live at home, but she's still on our car insurance. And so my husband said, this is the last time she's going to be on our car insurance. He wants her to be off. So my husband doesn't really like the fact that the boyfriend has not really communicated with him, with my husband, and tried to build a relationship. Once they did before, it kind of went south and didn't go right. So I'm just at a loss because I've been praying about it, and this all just transpired this weekend. So I'm just trying to figure out what I can do, what I can say to make things better if I can. I'm not wanting to be codependent because I realize it's in God's hands. But I just need your advice. My husband's very upset about the gifts they're giving her.
Karen, how would you know if things were getting better? What would be signs you would see that were happening?
I think one sign would be that the young man would, you know, try and make an honest attempt again to come and speak with my husband and just kind of build a relationship. And I think that's the beginning part because it's our daughter and she's 24, she's grown, she doesn't live at home, but I think that's one of the things that would make me see a change is if, you know, the young man could, you know, make an attempt to build a relationship with my husband to make my husband feel better about what's going on, and that's what I think.
And what do you wish your husband would do?
I wish that he would, I think he would accept it, but I think he would also have some things to say that wouldn't be too productive. I think he would just be in a way where he's like, okay, yeah, well, he did that, but whatever, this is this, and it's still going, you know. I don't think my husband, he says he would be receptive to it, but I'm just not 100% sure.
It's so funny because it's just like that whole thing of how do you launch a child who's, you know, that's your daughter, and then make the peace with the choices that they make, given the information that you know. And that's, I think, what you're up against, Karen. But go ahead, Alice. I just, it's that observation of how hard it is to launch them.
And there are a lot of complicating factors this time in the psychiatric hospital. It's a little vague. Mm-hmm. It's confusing. What do you think is your and your husband's biggest concern about this young man's character, given that he shot himself accidentally and spent time in the hospital?
My husband's concern is that he just doesn't know if he's right for our daughter and if he's mentally stable already. And my husband hates the fact that he still lives at home with his parents, but he works and he does pay his parents' rent. And I think he's just stacking his money so that way he can get out and buy a house or get his own place. So that's what I think.
Karen, what's your husband's relationship like with your daughter?
You know, it's good. My daughter is a very quiet person. She's not really introverted, but she only speaks when she needs to. She's very observant, but I think she's right now trying to find her way in life, and her way in life is pulling away from her dad a little bit, and I don't know if he, you know, likes that or if he, you know, wants her to actually come to him for everything, because he said, you know, you could have came to me about those tires, and you know, my daughter didn't know she was getting tires. It was just something that her boyfriend and the dad did.
Right. Right. Well, Karen, you can hear the music. Hold on. We're going to come back after the break. You know, there's a lot going on. And I think sometimes when there's a lot of chaos, it can get real confusing. And, you know, it is a good question to ask. You know, is this the right person for her? Of course, the only people that can answer that would be her, but how do we help in the process? If you need any help, we're going to talk to you, Karen, after this break, but we're taking some more calls. 1-800-229-3000. It just goes to show you it's always something.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We would love to hear from you. You can call us at 1-800-229-3000. And during the month of April, for a gift of any amount, we will send you Dr. Henry Cloud's latest book, Trust. And it's got a big, long second half of that. Just know that Henry is wise. Get a copy of that for a gift of any amount, and you'll be helping us continue to help others. So we're just grateful for the opportunity to do that. Right now, we're grateful to be talking with Karen, and she's got a little bit of an issue going on with the family. So, Mark, Alice, who wants to start?
Well, we were talking at the break here, Karen, and we were just making a comment, really, that you guys have, sounds like you've done a great job actually launching your daughter. You're saying that she has graduated from college, she's living on her own, she's, you know, sounds like she's fully independent apart from the car insurance part that you're talking about. And I like what you said earlier on there, Becky, about the tension between launching our kids and then being okay, you know, with the decisions that they make. One thing, though, that I think is probably complicated in your dynamic here, Karen, is you're talking about that your husband wants the boyfriend to be able to, sounds like, almost read his mind and come and initiate this conversation. But then it sounds like he's already predetermined that even if that did happen, he wouldn't be very receptive to it. And I wonder if the boyfriend picks up on that. And so he doesn't approach your husband. And so there's this kind of conflict happening here where it doesn't seem like if he went ahead and did that, that would even resolve the issue. And I'm wondering if you're feeling very much stuck in the middle between trying to please your daughter and your husband. Is that right?
Yes, you hit the nail on the head. I'm really stuck in the middle, and I really don't know what to do, because I want everyone to be happy. I want everyone to, you know, be okay. But I'm not going to be codependent about it. I'm not going to, if my daughter makes that decision, that's her decision. She's on her own. She's grown, has her own job, her own place. The only thing that we do for her is, you know, she's on our car insurance, which, you know, my husband said, this will be the last time. So, yes, I am stuck in the middle.
So I don't know if you've ever read the book How We Love by Milan and Kay Yurkovic. We often reference that book here, but it's a fantastic book, and it talks about attachment. And attachment is really these bonding styles that get created in us from the relationships that we have growing up. And I'm wondering if your husband has the vacillator attachment, and what happens with somebody who has a vacillator attachment is they're very prone to feelings of rejection. And I wonder if, you know, your daughter moving, becoming more independent and growing and attaching with this family feels like a rejection for him. And then what happens is when somebody who's a vacillator, they feel this rejection, they tend to protest. They want to remove some connection. And that's what I think might be happening here when he's saying, like, you know, that's the last time she's going to be on our car insurance here. And I wonder if you've developed the pleaser attachment, and your daughter may have developed this pleaser attachment too. So I think what I
think what you just said, that is so right. The rejection part, because as a child growing up, my husband was rejected from part of his family, rejected from, you know, friends and elementary, middle school, high school. So there is definitely that point to it as well.
Yeah. So what's really happening here is this whole situation is just a trigger to these old wounds that are happening in your husband. And he's having really a $50 reaction to what we call a $5 problem, right? It feels real inside him, but it's greatly out of proportion to what is actually really happening here. And so really some of this stuff is really his to own and his to work through. And I think your daughter really needs to be encouraged to, you know, be independent and make her own choices. And some of them are going to be good, and some of them are going to be bad, and some of them might end up consequentially being indifferent in the end. But learning to be able to be independent, and your husband also knowing that you know, he still is loved by her. So I wonder if, you know, maybe even we can send you that book and you can share that with
we
your
will.
Husband and you guys can read through it. But I think practically for you, you might want to begin this conversation with your husband. And I would say, I think for your husband is maybe calling the boyfriend and asking to have a conversation with him and sharing maybe some of his concerns, but also he will have to be open to be able to having a productive conversation. Otherwise, you guys are going to be stuck here.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that Steve recommends all the time, Karen, is that you would have him over. Like not just a one-on-one, but integrate into your family. Because guess what? If they end up getting married, this is what the future looks like. And so, go ahead, Alice. I could see you're waiting to go.
It also is legitimate to be concerned about his mental state. Mm-hmm. And you might make a recommendation to your daughter that she ask or even require that they be in counseling together and that they have a structured recovery process that they're both in, both to address what did happen then and is there a diagnosis to that? And we're just all broken people that need ongoing help, especially as we're deciding, do we get married? Do we enter into a covenant relationship going forward? Perhaps you and your husband offer to pay for that. If you take her off the car insurance, maybe you switch over the money into something productive that way.
You know, it's so powerful when you reframe the story so that if she comes off of the insurance, it's not related to anything other than it's just time. Mm-hmm. It's not because of a boyfriend. It's not because of some retaliation. This is just what adults do. You know, it's your turn to pay for this. But, you know, I'm thinking too along the same lines of how we live. You know, Karen, it'd be great if you and your husband would join us today. We're going to be in Dallas. And maybe even if they're considering marriage, they could go as well.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now, let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You know, I just want to say thank you to all of our Club New Life family. These are folks that give on a monthly basis to New Life Ministries and all the things that we do. They are supporting on a regular continued basis, and we're so grateful. You know, we just had a quarterly Zoom gathering with our Club New Life last week, and one of our Club New Lifers said, you know, I don't even listen anymore, but I have to keep giving because I want you guys to continue to help people find their new life. And so, you know, if you want to be part of the giving family, whether it's Club New Life or otherwise, all you have to do is give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you can go to newlife.com. A gift of any amount is going to make a difference in someone's life today. And I just wanted to start with a few and just an invitation to be part of something that God is using to save so many people's lives and relationships. And we don't take it lightly, and we just appreciate all of your help. We're going to go back to the calls because that's one of the ways we help. You can call us at 1-800-229-3000. Right now we're going to talk with Victoria, who is calling from New York and listens on our app, and you can listen on our app as well. It's free wherever you get your apps. Hello, Victoria. Thank you for calling. How can we help you today?
Yeah, I'm really struggling understanding scripture. Every day God keeps giving me like the same verses, and I just don't know how to hear him clearly at this point. He keeps giving me verses about Deuteronomy and the blessings and curses, and it's like it was a halt. It was a no way forward and no way back, Lord. So I guess I'm trying to ask God, how do I discern what God is saying?
Hmm. Well, Victoria, we just honor that you are trying so hard to decipher his message to you. And I hear a lot of distress and I think anxiety in your voice of you got to figure this out and you're not figuring it out fast enough. To help us deal with this with you, will you tell us a little bit about your life, what's going on in your life right now, and what are relationships like for you?
I don't have any real relationships. I don't trust anyone.
Oh.
8 years ago, I got baptized with my family. I came out of the water, and, like, nothing ever since that day made sense. They went through horrible court battles, just really lost a lot, and I've been given a lot of prophetic words over my life that make no sense, and it's like, I don't want to go back to the old life, and I lost so much, but, Lord, every step of faith I take in every new direction, it's like another dead end, Lord. Mm. And just before today I got that verse of Deuteronomy about blessings and curses. Right after this the phone number came up to call.
Mm. Mm. And every time you take a step closer to God, you seem to suffer more. And so how confusing that where is God's protection over you? And yet, where is his blessing?
Suffering anymore.
Uh-huh.
It's more like getting more lost, like to where I've lost my house, my health, everything. Like nothing, I don't have really much left but a job, and I don't know where God wants me. Like I thought that's where I was supposed to be. Now that I've really cried out to God for a really long time.
Victoria, what happened with your family that there was a court battle and now you don't trust anyone?
I just ended up, it was a very bad marriage. Like the rest of my past that my family keeps throwing my past in my face. They say they're Christian, but I heard a sermon even this morning about the old man died. I got into more sin in my life. And like after I was going to counseling and with my marriage, and my ex-husband was like, I can forgive, but I can't forget. And it's fine. He remarried. I had to give my kids up, everything. There's nothing really left. I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I let go of everything. Where is the way forward? Because it's like people keep trying to tell me to go back, get back to what? There was nothing in my life. I told the Lord since I was born that was stable. I came from a very, very messed up generational line of pattern of my mother, 3 divorces deep.
Aww.
My father, he's still married to someone else. Like he left before I was born. It was a lot of...
Mm-hmm.
Victoria, did you do something that your family is holding over your head?
Everything. Everything from it. And they're the same sins they commit. So I know that, I believe that's Satan trying to attack me. And I said, all right, Lord, I let go. I can't change them, Lord. I can only change myself. I can't fix my past. And they keep...
And Victoria,
to get
a little more specific, if you can, was there infidelity on your part? Was there ever any substance use you were struggling with?
No substance use, just there was infidelity on both sides.
Oh, it's so brave of you to tell us that. And I want to...
Yeah, I told my pastor that at church, and like the place I live, and I was like, the woman caught in adultery, they should have just thrown me to death. That's how bad it's
no.
been.
No.
Every church I've been to has shunned me. Like, I got engaged, and I don't even know if that person really wanted to. I tried to move on for 8 years with my life, and it's like I cried out to the Lord this morning, either Lord take me or please change my life.
Well, Victoria, I'm so glad that you called us today. I think, you know, part of the challenge when we have been so defeated so many times, we isolate and then we're just ruminating over the past and the things that have happened and we can't find a way out. That's why you're doubting so many things that you're dealing with. I would encourage...
I kept going to churches for 8 years and every time I go to church, they make my life worse. They take my kids. They tell everybody I'm horrible.
Victoria, it's because when we feel defeated and we go into new situations, our anxieties come to the top and it's very hard for us to connect. You need some really good healing so that then you can find safe connections so that you can continue to move forward. Mark or Alice, how can we best help Victoria? I'm thinking a life recovery group would be a good connection for her as she is in this space. But, you know, what are you guys thinking?
Yeah, I definitely think some kind of group here, Becky, because when we go through these hard times, we can tend to feel so alone and isolated and full of shame. And so when we get into groups with people who have similar experiences, you know, when we hear about their struggles, we can empathize with their situation because we know what it feels like. They can speak into our lives. We can feel validated too in what we're feeling in those moments. And we can see people too who are a little bit further down the line than us. And what we really need, you know, in counseling and just in growth in life is to have hope. And so when mm-hmm. we can see people who have overcome and got through something, right, that gives us, you know, what we call in therapy, the installation of hope, which is necessary, right, for any kind mm-hmm. of progress to begin. Have you ever been in therapy before, Victoria? Have you tried it?
Yeah, and you know what? I think it's demonistic. I think a lot of therapy, I've been to group therapy, I've paid for Christian counseling, and you know what? When you tell them, it's like talking to demons. Those demons in them, they try to attack you. They try to, whatever, because if they're struggling with the same things you're struggling with, that's how I ended up in worse situations, because I went to a Celebrate Life Recovery.
Well, ours is a little bit different, Victoria, but go ahead. Go ahead, Mark.
I even went to an adult teen challenge, and that was, and I wasn't even on drugs. I just went there for spiritual help,
And I applaud you, Victoria, for all of your efforts here. I really think you are trying and trying and trying, and that's why I think you're probably so hopeless in this moment, because you're making efforts, and it doesn't seem like you're making any traction. That's going on. But what we have is we do have a network of trusted counselors. And what we're going to do is we're going to put you in touch with one of them. And we're going to see how they can help you through the rest of your journey here.
Yeah, Victoria, it can be kind of terrifying that part of the solution to some of the problems you're talking about is risking getting close to mm-hmm. people again, because people are the ones that have hurt you and devastated you. And so we usually need a professional relationship with a person in order to risk trusting again. And that's the very last thing that you want. You can't trust anybody mm-hmm. right now. I also want you to consider that hearing you're homeless, the Salvation Army gives a structured program where they provide housing, they provide counseling, which I know you're afraid of, and they also help get you on your feet again with work. And so please consider a Salvation Army program near you. And hearing the panic and how fast your thoughts are of being able to identify all the potential problems you might face. Victoria, seeing your primary care doctor and having a physical evaluation and even perhaps a psychiatric evaluation, because medication for depression, medication for anxiety can help slow our thoughts back down so that we can make clearer decisions, and even so that we can decipher who's trustworthy and who's not. Please think about pursuing that, Victoria.
I appreciate that, Alice, I'm going to send her a copy of Healing is a Choice. You know, we can get so much confusion when we've experienced so much pain and heartache. And it's everything. It's mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual. And we have to then decide what is the next right step. And we have to be able to say, I'm going to trust this person who, you know, may know better for me, and to keep going. It's one of the things we talk about recovery is keep coming, because it works one step at a time. We'll be praying for you, Victoria, and we're going to send you a copy of Healing is a Choice, and we'll get you connected with a life recovery group and maybe even a counselor in your area. We'll be back. We're going to take your calls right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I'm so glad you're listening on any platform. You know, we have the podcast, we have the app, we have, you know, obviously local radio stations as well as XM and the internet. You can listen at newlife.com. However you hear us, we are so grateful that you're there, our YouTube family, of course. And wherever you're listening, I hope that you'll consider sharing with someone to get the word out. Because, you know, just like when we were talking to Victoria on our last call, I was just talking with Alice and Mark at the break that, you know, the words that they're giving her are also impacting those who are listening at other times, because you just never know who's on the other end of this program. And we've heard so many people call us and say, you guys helped me through a really tough time. I never called in, but I was listening, and thank you, New Life. So I just, you know, I just want to encourage you, however you're hearing us, share it with somebody. Go ahead, Alice.
The radio show is sometimes the only therapy a person will ever receive in their lifetime. And folks, it's our biggest expenditure. Radio is the most costly thing that New Life does. And so, yes, your donations can help get therapy to people that may not receive it otherwise. And so we're immensely grateful.
Yes, we are. And we're going to continue taking your calls. So call us 1-800-229-3000. We've got a few lines open and we've got some folks hanging on. So hold on and I'll get to your call. Carol is who we're going to talk to right now. She's calling us from Pittsburgh and listens on Sirius XM. Hi, Carol. Thanks for waiting. And how can we help you today?
Hi, I have a question. My dilemma is actually really kind of convoluted. There's a lot of pieces to it, but I'm going to try to shorten it up to make sense of it. So I have a brother and a sister, older brother and a younger sister. And my father had told me years ago he was going to try to make sure that he ended up with everything, the estate. So my father gave me a couple little things. He said, this might be worth something when you grow up. Well, anyway, 37 years ago, maybe 35 years ago, my brother and I, we had an argument about our kids. My children were always getting bitten. His children seemed like angels. Anyway, we had an argument, and from that point on, we never talked. But it was more than just that. It was he was working on making sure that he would end up with my parents' estate. So he estranged me from my family and eventually estranged my sister from my family. Both my parents are deceased. He has two daughters of the age of my younger two. And I have not seen them since they were infants. One was 6 months old. The other was approximately, I don't know, maybe three. And I had this strong feeling, and everybody else is Catholic but me. I became a born-again Christian in 1986, and I'm praying all the time and Bible study and talking to God. And I have a very strong feeling to write a letter to my niece, the older niece, and just explain to her who we are, that you have cousins and that I'm your aunt and I never got to meet you. And if she doesn't want to have a relationship, okay. If she does, okay. And I don't know if it's the right thing to do.
How old is your niece now?
That one's 37, the other one's 35.
And they may not even know that you exist?
They probably do, but I don't know. I mean, I'm not really sure. And they know that I exist because I went to both funerals, my parents' funerals, and they saw me. So they know that I exist. I just know that from the things that I've heard, my brother has badmouthed me to the point that I'm living underneath the bridge like a homeless woman. Although I'm very successful and have a business, and so are all my children. So she knows nothing about us. And I just want her to know the truth, and it's probably more for my healing than even for them. And my kids don't have cousins. I mean, they grew up without family. It was sad for them.
Carol, as you think about writing this letter, what's one of the worst things you're afraid will happen, one of the negative results that could come about because of a letter?
Nothing. At this point, there's nothing left. There's nothing left. Mm. My parents are gone. We have no relationship. There's nothing that can happen. I mean, it's already happened. So to me, writing it is probably more for healing, and more, my thought goes like this. If he's, I call him evil almost, if he's bitter enough to, you know, allow to turn my parents against me and then against my sister, walk off the entire estate, sell my mother's house with the piano in it, which all I said was, can I just have mom's piano? She taught us how to play. Sold the house with the piano in it. I mean, who is that bitter and angry? There's nothing left. If anything, maybe he estranged her, maybe he has a bitterness towards her or her sibling. There's nothing bad that can happen out of it. I don't think anything works.
So, Carol, when you think...
Alice, we only have a couple of minutes, so if we can give her some direction about this, I think that'd be the best use of
Carol,
time.
So, Carol, I think it's a fantastic idea that you want to write to your nieces. I think they are old enough now. They likely have their own families. They understand the, you know, parent dynamics and sibling dynamics and things like that. So I think it's a great idea. Yeah, you're right. You've got not too much left to lose. I think the only guidance that I would give you in writing that letter would really be just to kind of make it purely about your connection with them. I wouldn't disparage your brother. I wouldn't put him down in the letter. Because at this point, you don't know how close they are to their dad or what he said. My guidance would just be to make it about connection and let them know about who you are and that you've thought about them over the years and that you love them and that your kids would like to know their cousins too.
There you go, Alice.
As you say, the letter might be more for your healing than for your niece. That's good to differentiate. And so I'd have you write the letter, hold it, and go over it with a counselor who gets to know your story and check on the level of anger you have towards your brother because of the evil things he's done. He's hurt the entire family. So work on forgiveness of your brother. And by doing that in tandem with the letter, you will keep the letter clean and separate from any understandably vengeful feelings that you might have against your brother.
That's so true. We're going to send you a copy of Dave Stoops' Forgiving What You'll Never Forget, I think is the name of it. But, you know, Carol, just like exactly what you just said, Alice, that letting go of those 30-some years of pain and sorrow is a grieving process. And, you know, Carol, you're not the only person that has gone through this. Unfortunately, it happens so many times in families, and we have to really guard our heart against carrying that pain, like you were just talking about, Alice. What a great suggestion of just, you know, check yourself, you know, and to know what is ahead of that so that you're not trying to make him bad, because then that makes you bad. And I just, you know, I do love the idea of reconnecting. You know, as we close this day out, we're going to have some more calls coming on the next show. Do not hang up. We are going to be right there. But if you want to join us, you can call us at 1-800-229-3000. Mark or Alice, we've had a lot of folks call us today about challenges with family and just how to get along with one another. What is something, and, you know, Mark, you alluded to the hope part of this that is so important. What is something that we can just encourage people in these relationships that we're born into or sometimes married into?
Yeah, it's funny. I was talking to my wife about this earlier this morning. Is that, you know, we're going to have pain. We're going to have discomfort. We're going to have tension in relationships. And so it's not learning, trying to get rid of all of our negative feelings, but it's learning how to manage these feelings. And I heard a line in a show the other day, and it went something like this, that family is a group of people that you owe apologies to. And it's so true, right? We're going to hurt each other, but it's learning how to, we talked about it earlier in the show, about forgiveness and about finding our own healing so we can create capacity to do that.
And I love that.
That's the beauty of God's process, that no matter what our family does, even if they stay in their unhealthy, broken patterns, God empowers us through confession, humility, apology, to get healing on our side, to clean up our side of the street, and it often influences our family to follow suit.
Yeah, I love that too, Alice, because the truth of the matter is you will get hurt if you are breathing. It just is part of the human condition, and our response to that is our work. It is our work. I'm so glad you joined us today. We're going to continue taking calls, 1-800-229-3000. We've got some calls lined up. Hold on, we'll be right there. And thanks, Alice. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, listeners. We're so grateful for each and every one of you, and I hope something we said today helped you have a better life, and we'll be right back.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you'd take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing, and we're so glad that you're here.